Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to involve my trying to prevent a revolution with just two weapons, an old beat-up railroad timetable, and an empty matchbook. Morning, Commissioner. Ruth said you had an assignment for me.
I do, Steve. You're flying to South America.
Well, what do I do when I get there?
I don't know.
You don't? Hey, let me have that again.
You heard me. I don't know. It's a very nasty mess. That's why I'm sending you.
I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. Okay, what's the deal, Commissioner?
Take a look at this map of South America, Steve.
Yeah?
See these two countries?
Uh-huh. What about them?
One of them's friendly to us. The other, well, not so friendly. And right now, they're accusing the friendly country of plotting against them with our aid.
What? Now, look.
Sure, it sounds crazy, but unfortunately, there seems to be some pretty damaging evidence in existence.
What kind of evidence?
Some letters supposedly written by General Avila, the president of the friendly country. Plans concerning this plot are discussed in those letters.
Are they genuine?
Well, that's one of the things you're going to find out. General Avila, of course, denies ever writing them, but officials of the other country who now have possession of the letters say they're genuine without a doubt.
How'd this other country get their hands on these letters?
Last night, President Avila's son-in-law was found in a town across the border murdered. The letters were on his person. The theory is that he had double-crossed his father-in-law and was on his way to peddle the letters to this other country.
Well, where do I fit in this charming little deal?
Tomorrow morning, a meeting is scheduled in Sonoma, the capital of the friendly country.
Why hold a meeting? Why not publish the letters?
Now, the meeting is to determine whether or not the letters are genuine. Representatives from both countries will be there. Now, Steve, the whole situation is very explosive. Get down to Sonoma. Work with Colonel Peralta of the military there and try to get to the bottom of this whole mess. And above all, see that our name is clear. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Just a simple matter of getting dropped into a South American powder keg with people on each side of it holding matches in their hands. A real cinch. Well, it's Friday when my plane lands in Sonoma and I head for the office of Colonel Peralta.
I am most happy you are here, Senor Mitchell. And I trust that working together, we will be able to clear both my country's name and yours in this unfortunate situation.
Look, as I get it, the country across the border from here claims to have in their possession some letters written by your president, General Avila.
Si, Senor. They also claim that in these letters is evidence of a plot against them, a plot involving the support of your country.
Yeah? Have you seen these letters?
Well, no, senor. They are in the custody of Senor Barrero, the representative from the other country.
Do you think your president actually wrote them?
Oh, I cannot bring myself to believe it, senor. General Avila is an old man in a wheelchair. What designs could he have on another country, particularly a country which is more powerful than we are?
I don't know.
Senor Mitchell, as second in command of my government, this places a heavy responsibility on me. I must either accept the proof or accept the consequences.
Well, I guess the first step is to get a look at these letters, Colonel.
Si, senor. And that we will be able to do shortly. The meeting will take place in 1 hour at the villa of Baron Ludwig.
Who's Baron Ludwig?
An ex-German nobleman who has been living in this country for several years.
How does he figure in this deal?
Oh, because of his interest in diplomacy and international relations, he has been selected as what you might call a referee in this dispute. Come, we will drive to his villa.
Okay. Brother, some joint. This Baron Ludwig must be a well-heeled gent.
He seems to be quite wealthy.
Who all's going to be at this meeting, Peralta?
A delegation from the two countries, Baron Ludwig, and a few press correspondents. I believe that is Senor Barrero's suite there, the head of the stair there. I suppose I must compose myself before we enter.
What do you mean?
This Barrero, the representative from the other country, I find it exceedingly difficult to control my temper in his presence. Naturally, he and I are, what you might say, on opposite sides of the fence in this matter, but beyond that, I dislike the man intensely. I do not trust him.
I see.
Enter.
Ah, Colonel Peralta.
Good afternoon, Baron Ludwig. And Senor Barrero?
Peralta?
May I present Senor Mitchell from the United States?
Herr Mitchell, we've been awaiting your arrival so that the meeting could be opened.
I understand you're acting as a sort of referee in this deal, Baron Ludwig.
Yeah, I'm a student of politics, Herr Mitchell, and so it was with great delight I learned I'd been selected as arbiter by both countries.
And you, Senor Barrero, you're the one who has the letters in his custody?
Quite right, Senor Mitchell. And I assure you, you will find it difficult to explain your government's unsavory position in this matter.
Oh, now, look.
You profess a policy of non-intervention, yet these letters will show your intention to furnish direct military aid to Colonel Peralta's country.
Senor Barrero, you have no right to talk like this. Nothing has been proven, nothing.
I assure you, Colonel Peralta, every word I utter is backed by the most undeniable proof.
Barrero,
and
gentlemen, please. These are matters to be discussed calmly over the conference table, not heatedly here in Senor Barrero's suite.
Look, Barrero, so far I've heard a lot of talk about these letters, but I haven't seen anything of them.
I see. You would call me a liar?
I wouldn't call anyone anything until I've seen the letters, and maybe that should go for you, too.
Very well. You shall see the letters. I have them in an envelope in this wall safe. I see it is necessary to convince these wishful skeptics of the very existence of the letters. So, I have them in this envelope. I will take them out and hold them for you.
Trusting soul, aren't you?
Your government has shown it cannot be trusted. Why should I trust one of its representatives?
Look, Barrero, I'm getting a little tired of your...
See, they make very interesting reading, don't they?
I cannot believe it.
That is enough for now, gentlemen. The letters will be read in their entirety at the conference. I merely wish to satisfy you of their existence.
But, Signor Barrero, there is no point in locking the envelope up in the safe again. We're all here. We may as well proceed to the conference room next door.
Very well. I will bring the envelope.
Come on, Sal.
Si, senor.
Herr Barrero, as long as I will be presiding over the conference, perhaps it would be fitting for me to carry the letters into it myself.
Gracias, Baron Ludwig, but I will carry the envelope.
As you prefer. Come along, gentlemen.
So, Peralta, you seem strangely quiet. Is it perhaps that you are worried now that you have seen that the letters really do exist?
Maybe Peralta is wondering, like I am, if those letters are genuine, Barrero.
Colonel Peralta, you have undoubtedly seen many samples of General Avila's handwriting.
Well, I...
Have you not?
Well, of course I have. Barrero, I refuse to be cross-examined this
Would way. You say that the letters in this envelope are forgeries?
Gentlemen, I suggest that we postpone further discussion until the conference begins.
Very well. I am sure Peralta would prefer that, the way he squirms.
Barrero, I warn you.
And as for you, Senor Mitchell, perhaps you will be interested in knowing that there are three handwriting experts waiting inside this room.
Good afternoon, Baron Ludwig.
Ah, Barbara, my dear. We were just going into the conference room. May I present Herr Barrero?
Hello.
How do you do?
Colonel Peralta.
What is this?
And Herr Steve Mitchell from the United States.
Hi.
Gentlemen, Fräulein Dawson from the Hemisphere News Service.
Oh, Hemisphere News Service. You're here to cover the conference, Miss Dawson.
Mm-hmm. From what I've heard so far, there should be a few headlines in it.
You sound pretty happy about it.
Oh, I hope everything turns out okay, of course. But a gal has to make her living, you know.
Let us go in, gentlemen. I believe the other delegates are already inside. After you, my dear.
Thanks, Baron.
Peralta.
Si, senor.
You didn't seem to have much to say when Barrero asked you if those letters looked genuine, do you?
Mitchell, I am no handwriting expert, but I have seen many samples of our president's handwriting, and those letters look like the same writing.
That's not good.
No, Senor Mitchell, indeed that is not good. It is very bad.
Please be seated, gentlemen. We will open the conference.
We sit down at a large round table, all except Colonel Peralta, who remains standing. Barrio is in Baron Ludwig's left, and a couple of other delegates, Barbara Dawson, the newspaper correspondent, and myself. As Ludwig goes through the opening formalities, Barrero opens the envelope and glances inside. Peralta, who's standing behind him, cranes his neck over Barrero's shoulder, then gives me that sick look again. Barrero closes the envelope and places it beside him on the table as Ludwig motions for him to speak.
I shall make my remarks brief. I have in my possession letters which prove conclusively that the government headed by General Avila and represented by Colonel Peralta has been negotiating a secret agreement with the United States, which constitutes a direct plot against my country. Furthermore...
Oh.
What is it, Barbara?
Nothing. I feel a little faint.
Barbara!
All right, now. I just lost my balance for a moment.
You knocked my envelope to the floor.
I'm sorry. I'll get it.
Here, let me... Yeah.
Here. It went under the table. I've got it. Here you are, Senor Barrero. I'm sorry.
Please continue, Senor Barrero.
Very well. As I was saying...
I demand that this meeting be stopped. It is an insult to my father.
What is the meaning of this, Senora Margarita?
Who is she, for all of you?
General Avila's daughter.
Oh, Senora, me.
Senora, please, now. Watch out the table.
Senora Margarita, she will do your father the most good by returning to the palace at once.
Oh, but Colonel Peralta, this meeting...
This meeting is necessary and in order, Senora. I beg of you, return to the palace.
Very well, Colonel. You would let me know the outcome.
At once. Come, Signora. I'm afraid this outburst did not do our cause any good, Mitchell.
No.
Now, gentlemen, I believe we may continue.
Baron Ludwig, I do not feel it too much to ask that this conference be spared from further interruptions of this nature.
I trust we will. Please continue with your remarks, Signor Barrero.
Very well. As you know, the letters in this envelope before me were found on the body of General Avila's son-in-law, the late husband of the young signora who burst in here so dramatically a moment ago. Our theory is that...
Look, Barrero, suppose we get down off that theory cloud and start...
Oh, yes, yes. You wish facts, Signor Mitchell. Very well. First, I will show these letters to the handwriting experts. Then I...
Barrero, what is the matter?
It is not possible.
What's not possible?
The envelope, it is empty. The letters have disappeared.
In all the strange and far-off places in the world, wherever there is mystery, intrigue, and romance, there you will find The Man Called X. Herbert Marshall stars as The Man Called X in just a short while over most of these NBC stations. The Man Called X is a man without a name who travels the world over on missions of danger and counter-espionage. Tomorrow night, there's an hour and a half of comedy, music, and drama, all wrapped up in one big, wonderful program. Tomorrow and every Sunday, it's The Big Show on NBC with Tallulah as MC. Tonight, it's The Man Called X. Tomorrow, The Big Show, right here where you hear the chimes. And now, back to Dangerous Assignment and Steve Mitchell.
Colonel Peralta, I hold you responsible for the disappearance of these letters.
Barrero, I have had enough of your accusations. I had nothing to do with it.
Where is the phone?
I am sorry, Senorita Dawson, but I forbid it.
This is news. It's important.
It is more important that those letters be recovered. No one is to leave this room.
Oh, that's great.
See here, Peralta,
this incident has occurred in my country. I must take charge. I will post guards around this via, and no one will leave it until those letters are recovered.
Might be a good idea if we were all searched, Peralta.
Si, senor. I insist on being searched first.
Okay, Colonel, that sounds fair enough. And after you've been searched, we'll all follow suit.
All of us, Steve?
Yeah, I... Well,
Looks like I'm sort of a complication, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what do? Draw straws to see who gets the honor?
Well, I'll furnish the straws.
I do not think that would be necessary, Barbara, my dear. If it's satisfactory with all concerned, my wife will search you in the next room.
Oh, shucks.
Now, gentlemen, if you will line up next to the wall, we will begin.
so, everybody gets frisked. But the letters aren't on anybody pretty soon, Barbara. And Ludwig's wife comes back in the room, and Ludwig's wife reports no letters on Barbara. Guerrero looks like he's on the verge of apoplexy and keeps throwing nasty glances at Peralta, who at this point is squirming like a worm on a hook. Finally, he motions me over to one corner of the room.
Richard, who could have taken those letters?
Starts me. Well, no, you already have.
Huh?
Oh, skip it.
Oh, we must find out. This whole affair is playing right into Barrero's hands. My government is being dishonored.
Look, let's go back over everything that happened.
Very well. Barrero brought the envelope into the room.
Yeah.
As you remember, he opened it and glanced inside briefly as the conference started.
Yeah, you were standing behind him. I saw you craning your neck over his shoulder.
Yes, senor. At that moment, the letters definitely were in the envelope. I saw them.
Then he closed the envelope again and put it on the table beside him. He started to talk and... Wait a minute.
What is it?
Barbara Dawson, remember? She started to the water cooler.
Oh, see?
Something.
And suddenly lurched into the table.
Yeah, and knocked the envelope to the floor. I wonder if she...
Talking about me, Steve?
What? Oh, Barbara. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was talking about you.
No, I'm flattered.
You shouldn't be. What I was thinking wasn't good.
Why, Steve, and I didn't realize you knew me that well.
Well, I was thinking that fainting spell of yours came at a very convenient time.
Oh, that? I don't know what hit me, Steve.
Well, whatever it was, you sure snapped out of it in a hurry, didn't you?
Look, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that maybe it wasn't just an accident you're knocking that envelope off the table when you did.
What do you mean by that?
You could have switched envelopes under the table when you reached down to pick it up.
Mind telling me why I'd do a thing like that?
I can think of one good reason. Those letters right now are worth a lot of money to both countries.
I see. Play one against the other and sell to the highest bidder, huh?
It's an interesting theory, isn't it?
Oh, very interesting. But there are just a couple of little things wrong with it.
For instance?
In the first place, you're giving me credit for a lot more interest in this deal than I have.
Exactly what is your interest in this matter, Senorita Dawson?
I'm a reporter, pure and simple. Well, simple anyway.
And you have no connection with any of the parties involved?
Of course not. And here's the other little thing wrong with your theory, Steve.
Hmm.
I was searched too, remember? No letters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Colonel, looks like we better go into a huddle again.
Si, señor.
Well, let me know if you round up another suspect. I'm still looking for a headline.
Mitchell.
You're probably thinking the same thing I am, Colonel Peralta.
What do you mean?
I can tell by your face you just remembered another incident that took place in this room before the letters turned up.
Why,
Wait a minute. General Avila's daughter came bouncing into the room.
Oh, but surely, señorita, Margarita is not to...
You could... She could have staged the whole deal to give her an opportunity to switch envelopes.
Oh, señor Mitchell, you must realize I cannot go to the palace and make such an accusation.
You don't have to go. I will. Just write me out a pass to get through your guards. Peralta hands me a relieved look and a pass, and I head for the palace. On the way, I pick up enough remarks from the townspeople to tell me that the news of the letter's disappearance has spread fast. They're beginning to gather in street corners, and what they're saying is not good. I show my pass to a guard, and he takes me to Signora Margarita's suite on the second floor.
What do you wish, Signor Mitchell?
The letters have disappeared, Signora.
What?
That surprise you?
But of course. Why shouldn't it surprise me?
I was sort of wondering if you're the one who took them.
Signor, you're joking.
Pretty bum joke. Look, I know you want to help your father, to shield him if you can, but...
Shield him? I don't have to shield him. He's innocent. He never wrote those letters, I'm sure of it.
Oh, is that what he said?
My father would consider it beneath his dignity to say anything about it.
I see.
It is true that he is not well liked by the other country. He has more than once refused to cooperate with me. But it is always in the interest of freedom for his people that he did so.
Look, I'm afraid this is all a little beside the point right now. Those letters are still missing.
But I did not take them.
Wasn't it your husband on whose body the letters were found in the first place?
See, it was. But I think somebody placed those letters on my husband's body after they had killed him.
Oh?
My husband was a good man. Weak? See, the kind of weakness that led him to such people as that woman, that Signorita Dawson. But
I... Wait a minute. You mean Barbara Dawson, the press correspondent?
I do not wish to speak further of it, Signor. It's a private matter.
I see.
You have said I would like to help my father. And you're right. There is nothing I would not do to help him. But do you not see that if I had taken those letters, I would be hurting him far more than helping him?
Yeah, I see that perfectly, Senora. I just want to be sure that you see it, too.
You must believe me. I do.
Okay. I guess that convinces me. It also leaves me right where I started, in the middle of nowhere. But you have given me one lead, and a pretty interesting one at that. I think I'd better follow it up. So I leave the palace, shove my way through the gathering crowd back to Ludwig's villa to have another little chat with Barbara Dawson. Then, as I'm walking along a dark street, I pass a car parked at the curb. I get down the sidewalk away when I realize that the car has started up and is following me slowly with the lights off. I speed up. The car does likewise. I slam around the corner and hit the sidewalk. By the time I get to my seat, the car is halfway down the block, so it looks like someone figures I'm getting warm anyway. I get back to the conference room at Ludwig's villa. The others are still there. I motion Colonel Peralta over to a corner.
What did you find on Mitchell?
Senora Margarita says she didn't take the letters, and I believe her.
Mitchell, quite frankly, I don't know what to do. I cannot hold Barrero in check much longer. He's getting uglier about this by the moment. There has always been a rift between General Avila and Barrero's country. If those letters are not recovered quickly, that rift may turn into war.
Yeah.
Have you no theory at all as to what might have happened to those letters?
Matter of fact, there are a couple of theories pecking away at my brain, but they're pretty wild. But
tell me what they are. Perhaps they are not as wild as you think.
Well, one of them we'll let ride for the moment.
But the other?
Barbara.
Oh?
Could you come here a moment?
Sure, Steve. Not another suspect, Steve.
Yep. You again.
What? Now, look, we've been all over this before.
You told me earlier that you didn't know any of the parties involved, but I just found out from Senora Margarita that you were pretty well acquainted with her husband.
What?
Look.
You didn't tell me that. Why not?
Are you kidding? You got a glimpse of that little spitfire in action. I'm supposed to go around spreading the news that her husband bought me a drink or two?
Well, it looks like somebody killed him and planted the letters on him. That somebody could have been you.
Look. I was 100 miles away when he was killed, and I can prove it. And as far as my stealing the letters, Baron Ludwig was right beside me when I picked them up.
Yeah, that's the point, and it was Ludwig's wife who searched you, wasn't it?
Why, yes, but...
What are you trying to say, Herr Mitchell?
Well, those letters are worth a lot of money to either side, Ludwig. Enough money, maybe, to make a two-way split worthwhile.
Indeed? Ah, yes, I think I see your line of reasoning. And I must admit it would appear logical. Barbara takes the letters, then my wife searches her in the next room and receives the letters from her. Quite sound, except for one thing.
What's that?
Motive. I've never had an active interest in the affairs of these two countries. And as to the money involved, I'll be glad to show you my bank book, Herr Mitchell. Then I think you will see that any amount I could realize from the letters would be, as you might say, but a drop in the bucket.
Okay, okay. So the letters come into this room, then they disappear, and they're not on you or me or Barbara or Peralta or Barrero, so I suppose a little bird flew in the window and carried them out. Either that or... What is it, Sergeant?
There is trouble at the palace.
Trouble? What trouble?
An angry crowd has gathered outside. They are shouting that General Avila and the United States are dragging them into war, and they are throwing rocks at the window.
I must get there immediately and take out the President.
I will see you later, Mitchell.
Okay.
Peralta!
Where is he going?
To the palace, Barrero. There's trouble there.
Gentlemen, this whole affair has dragged on long enough. I shall wait no longer. I must make full representation to my government of the entire matter.
Oh, let's get this thing settled one way or another so we can go home. I'm sick of this joint.
No sicker than I am, Barbara.
Got a cigarette, Steve?
Sure. Here's a match.
Your matchbook's empty.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I think I got another one. Yep, right here in the same pocket.
What's the matter?
Looks like Peralta was right when he said my theories might not be so wild after all.
What are you talking about?
Let's skip it.
I'm going to my suite to dictate my report.
That's a good idea. Come on, I'll go with you.
Let me assure you I do not need your help, Mitchell.
Come on.
Outside. Mitchell, what is the meaning of this?
I've got to talk to you, Barrero, and your suite is a good place.
Talk to me? What about? The time for talk is past.
Here we are.
Mitchell, will you be good enough to explain what this is all about?
Sure. You see, I'm like you are, Barrero. I don't trust any of the others.
Quite flattering that you should select me to trust, particularly when I do not trust you. But I still do not understand what you
have... I've got an important piece of evidence in my pocket, evidence that'll unravel this whole deal. I want you to lock it up in your safe for me.
Evidence? What is this evidence?
Here, lock it up right away.
Why, this is only a railroad timetable.
I know, but there's a code in it.
Code?
Believe me, I know what I'm talking about, Barrero. It's got to be locked up.
But... Very well. I still do not understand this, Mitchell.
It doesn't matter whether you do or not at this point, Barrero.
There. The safe is open, Mitchell. And in it, a gun.
That doesn't surprise me.
Get back!
You can't shoot with this lock on you. Drop it or I'll break your arm.
No, I drop it. I will not.
Barrero slumps to the floor, trying to plug me. He's done likewise to himself. I fish in the safe and pull out another envelope. This one's got the letters in it, right where they'd been all the time. Five will get 10, they're forgeries, but that can be checked later. Right now, I've got to get to the palace before the mob gets General Avila. I head there in a hurry and up the back stairs to General Avila's suite on the second floor. The general's sitting in his wheelchair with his daughter standing beside him. There's a large flag draped over the balcony rail, and behind it stands Colonel Peralta trying to quiet the angry, shouting mob below. Then I wait for Peralta to finish his speech.
Well, I did what I could. General, I'm afraid the feeling against you is quite intense. I feel it necessary to ask for an order giving me control of the militia. For some reason, the people seem to be looking to me to preserve order and peace.
Does that surprise you, Peralta?
Huh?
Isn't that just the way you and Barrero planned it?
Mitchell, what are you saying?
I'm saying that this whole deal with the letters was rigged between you and Barrero's outfit as an excuse for you to stage a coup and take over the government.
No, that is what
I... With the support of the people who would figure you were saving them from war.
General, do not listen to me, sir. He is insane.
Am I? The whole deal depended on our believing those letters actually came into the conference room. You said you saw them when Barrero opened the envelope. You lied.
No, I did not.
The letters were in the safe all along. That was an empty envelope Barrero took out of the safe. Just like the empty matchbook I took out of my pocket.
I tell you that...
Great time to be without a gun, isn't it?
I have a knife.
You have a knife.
He's going out into the balcony. Do not let him get away.
Don't worry. My bare hands are enough for you, Mitchell.
Try one of mine.
Oh! He's dead! Oh!
Brother, right over the rail.
Say something, sir. You are all right.
Yeah, I guess I can't say as much for Peralta, though. Oh,
look at him. Lying down there, dead.
Yeah, he got tangled up in the flag and lost his balance.
And now the flag he was trying to betray is his shroud. Quite fitting, senor.
Yeah, I guess it is. Funny. Peralta figured he was really going to be riding the gravy train. I guess he didn't realize it's just like any other train. There's always the chance it can get flagged down.
You know, Ruth, you could at least have waited until that blonde and I finished the dance before dragging me back here to the office.
Sorry, Steve, but the commissioner said he wanted you right away. And when he says right away, that means stop the music. Here we are.
Yeah?
The commissioner's waiting for you inside. I'll have your credentials and plane ticket at my desk when you're through in there.
Okay, Ruth. Hi, Commissioner.
Steve.
Well, where am I going this time?
Sending you to Athens, Greece.
Greece? Look, I wouldn't know Socrates from Homer.
I wouldn't worry about that. You're not liable to run into either of them.
Well, what's it all about?
Radar. Steve, as you know, our scientists have come up with new developments in radar so revolutionary that many of the older models are now obsolete.
So I understand. Hey, wait a minute. Is that how you located that blonde and me?
2 weeks ago, a complete set of plans covering these improvements was stolen from a research laboratory in this country. It's essential we get those plans back.
What's the line on him so far?
The man who smuggled them out of this country turned up dead in the Azores. His killer got as far as Algiers, and he got killed.
Sounds like a game where everyone plays for keeps.
It is. We now believe an international information peddler named Zundel has the plans.
And Zundel's in Athens?
We think so. Steve, there's a known channel waiting for those plans. Once they get to a certain point in the eastern Mediterranean, our chances of recovering them are nil. We've got to keep them from getting out of Athens.
Who do I work with in Athens?
Lieutenant Giannakos of the police. Steve, I don't have to tell you about the danger involved. There are probably several interests after those plans. They'll stop at nothing. They'll throw the book at you. They put every obstacle in your path that they can.
You know, this comes as no surprise, Commissioner.
As usual, you'll pose as a foreign correspondent after a story. But your real job is to get those plans before they get out of Athens. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment, Steve. Good luck.
Thank you.
The National Broadcasting Company is proud to present Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment. Steve Mitchell is en route to Greece by plane. Meanwhile, on a narrow, deserted street in Athens at sunset, two men slip furtively along the sidewalk in the gathering dusk, closing in relentlessly on a third man ahead of them.
Sundell still does not realize we are following him, Ruba. Come, let us close in now.
In a moment, Miklos. Wait until he gets opposite that alley in front of him. He is getting closer. Now, come on!
Sundell!
Let go of me!
Into the alley, quick!
No!
Do not cry out, there is a knife in your stomach.
There, this is far enough.
The papers, Sundell, give us the papers!
No, I do not have them anymore.
You lie! We tried to buy them from you, but you would not sell at our price. Now we will take them.
No, no, no!
Who are you, fool? After him!
He is running out into the sea. The car is trying to hit him. Sundell cannot get out of the way.
Get back here in the alley.
Wait! The man is getting out of the car. Miklos, he is searching Sundell. He must be after the papers, too.
Come, we must not let him get away.
He sees us. Watch out, he has a gun.
Get down. Shoot him, brother. Shoot him.
Taken.
Huh? Oh, yeah, so I see.
But there's another one right over there.
Okay, thank you. Taxi.
Taxi.
Yes, sir. Right over here.
Miklos.
Yes?
That's a Steve Mitchell, all right. I received information he would be sent here to Athens to look for the radar plans.
Ruba, we must find out who ran down Sundell last night and beat us to those plans. Maybe if we search Sundell's house.
But we must also prevent Steve Mitchell from finding those plans. And that job comes first. Come, we will follow his cab.
Will you be staying here in Athens long, sir?
I don't know, driver.
Well, I just happen to have some cards with me which will admit you to various places, but
well, I'm sorry. I'm not on a vacation. Hey, that other car.
He's trying to sideswipe. Straighten out! I cannot look out!
Well, driver, you okay?
I think so.
Here, I'll get this door open. Can you open your door?
No. No, it is jammed.
Well, come on. I'll help you through the window.
Thank you. How about you? Are you hurt?
No, just shaking up. Looks like I got a reception committee pretty early in the game this time. Look, can you get another cab and take me to police headquarters?
Nothing personal, sir. But if you do not mind, just get yourself another driver, please.
Hmm?
You are bad luck to me.
Okay, I guess I can't blame you, honey.
Like your American GIs used to say, I have had it.
So I finally made it to your office, Lieutenant Janikos, the hard way.
I wonder if this reception committee you speak of is the same one which greeted Sundell last night.
What do you mean?
He was run down by a car and is now in the hospital unconscious.
Now you think it could have been an accident, Janikos?
I am certain it was not. It was a deliberate hit and run. Several shots were heard. That is all we know at present. Here. You may be interested in looking at these pictures.
Taken at the scene of the accident, huh?
Yes, immediately afterward.
You recognize any of the faces in the crowd, Lieutenant?
No. I have a pretty good line on most of the agents and information peddlers here in Athens, Mitchell. But I don't see any of them in these pictures. Come in. Oh, good morning, Mr. Thatcher.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Let me introduce a colleague of yours. This is Mr. Steve Mitchell, also a freelance correspondent from the United States. This is Jim Thatcher, Mr. Mitchell.
Pleased to meet you, Mitchell.
Hi.
What can I do for you, Mr. Thatcher?
I came to talk to you about this guy, Zundel, who got run over last night.
What about Zundel?
Well, I don't know if you know much about his background, but he's a sort of a shady character.
Indeed. In what way, Mr. Thatcher?
Well, I've been cultivating him off and on for the past few months. Once in a while, he's given me information I was able to use in some of my stories. Well, lately, he's been pretty evasive, but I got the idea he was involved in something big.
What sort of thing?
I don't know. That's why I came here. Figured you might have some sort of line on it.
I'm afraid I cannot help you, Mr. Thatcher.
Well, I won't take up any more of your time, Lieutenant, but if you do get any information about Zundel, I'd appreciate you letting me in on it.
I am sure you will have access to any information which is made public, Mr. Thatcher.
Okay, I'll keep in touch with you. You going to be in Athens long, Mitchell?
Oh, a few days, I guess.
Where are you staying?
Lyceum Hotel.
I'll look you up. Maybe we can have a drink and talk a little shop.
Okay, see you around, Thatcher. You handled that very well, Lieutenant. For our purposes right now, we don't want anyone to know we suspect Zundel of being involved with those radar plans.
That was my thought, too, Mitchell. Well, what will be your first step?
I'd like to take a look around Zundel's place.
Very well. Here's the key. We took it from Zundel's pocket after the accident. Here is the address.
Okay, I'll go over there right now. I'll probably be calling in a little later, Janakis. Cigarette smoke. That's funny, some.
So, Steve Mitchell again. This time we will finish him off.
Wait. I hear a car outside. A girl, she's coming in. We must leave.
What about Mitchell?
We will take care of Mitchell later. Hurry, Mitchell. Follow me out the window.
Who is the girl, Oba?
I do not know. I have never seen her before. Hurry, jump to the girl.
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, you really pack a wallop, don't you?
Who are you?
Well, right now you can just call me Hit on the Head.
I don't understand. What are you doing here?
I'm going to ask you the same thing.
Why, I'm Helen Slater, Carl's fiancée.
Carl? Oh, you mean Carl Zundel?
Of course. Look, I don't understand. Where's Carl?
Don't you know?
Well, I thought he was here, obviously. This happens to be his house, you know.
I guess you haven't read the paper today.
I've been out of town. Why, has anything happened to Carl?
He was in an accident last night.
What? Oh, no. Is he... Well, was it serious?
He's in the hospital. Unconscious.
Where? I want to see him.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Come on, I'll call a cab and take us to the hospital. Janakis?
Yes?
This is Mitchell.
Oh.
I'm calling from a payphone.
Yes?
I'm on my way to the hospital with a girl named Helen Slater. Says she's Zundel's fiancée.
I see.
I think I'll stick with her a while. She claims she didn't know about the accident.
Oh.
But I'd never forget a face like hers. I'm sure she's in one of those pictures you showed me of the crowd at the scene of the accident. That must be Zundel's room down the hall. There's a police guard at the door.
Look, there's a doctor just going inside.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I still don't understand what you were doing in Carl's house, Mr. Mitchell.
I'm a newspaper correspondent. I was looking for a story.
About Carl?
About his accident, if it was an accident.
I don't understand. Why would anyone try to kill Carl?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea. Maybe you have.
Me? Oh, no.
Well, here we are.
Yes, sir.
I'm Steve Mitchell. Perhaps Lieutenant Janikos mentioned my name to you.
Yes, he did.
How's Zundel?
Still unconscious, I think.
Can I see him?
Perhaps shortly. A doctor went into the room a moment ago. Maybe he will have word.
Oh, I wish there was something I could do. When I think of Carl lying here unconscious for a day and a half and me not even knowing about it.
Yeah.
Well, looks like you're as eager on the story as I am, Mitchell.
Hmm? Well, hi. Thatcher, isn't it?
Yeah. Jim Thatcher. We met in Janaka's office.
Sure. Miss Slater, this is Jim Thatcher, another correspondent.
Hello.
Hi.
Miss Slater is Zundel's fiancée.
Oh? Anything new on Zundel?
No.
Good evening, guard.
Dr. Shelios?
I'm going to see the patient.
Yes, sir.
He must be worse.
What do you mean?
Well, to require the presence of two doctors. One of them is in the room with Zundel now.
What are you talking about? I am the only doctor on duty.
Hey, we better take a look inside.
Where is this other doctor you were talking about?
Why, he is not here. Wait.
Look at Zundel in the bed.
His throat has been cut.
I wish to thank all of you for coming here to my office. I think I have all the information I need at present.
I don't understand. Who would do a thing like that to...
Miss Slater, rest assured the police department will leave nothing undone in our investigation.
I think this killing verifies what I was telling you earlier today, Lieutenant. Zundel was apparently involved in something pretty serious.
But I'm sure Carr wasn't doing anything wrong.
You say he never mentioned anything he might have been involved in, do you?
No, nothing, Mr. Mitchell.
Miss Slater, Mr. Thatcher, you may both go now. But please leave your addresses with me in the event you are wanted for further questioning.
Okay. My address, Lieutenant. 1223 Sophia Boulevard.
1223 Sophia Boulevard. Thank you.
Sorry, I had to meet you under such unfortunate circumstances, Miss Slater. If there's anything I can do...
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thatcher. I'm afraid there isn't.
Well, see you around, gentlemen.
So long, Thatcher.
I've written my address and telephone number down for you, too, Lieutenant. There's just one favor I'd like to ask.
What is it, Miss Slater?
Well, Carl and I were pretty close, of course. There are some things in his house, things I'd given him. Cigarette lighter, a painting, a few things like that. I was wondering if I could have them back as, well, remembrances.
I am sure that could be arranged after the inquest.
Oh, thank you very much. You'll get in touch with me if there are any new developments in the case.
At once.
Oh, you've been very kind, Lieutenant. Goodbye, Mr. Mitchell.
Miss Slater.
Well, Mitchell, any chance we had of gaining information from Zundel is now gone. A frustrating case.
Yeah, frustrating, but not surprising. With something as vital and valuable as those radar plans at stake, it's no holds barred.
Let us recapitulate as to his killing. You say you and Miss Slater arrived at the hospital together.
That's right. As we approached Zundel's room, we saw a man in a white robe wearing a surgical mask go in the door. And while we were talking to the guard, Thatcher came down the hall. I introduced him to Miss Slater, and the real doctor showed up. We went into the room and discovered the body.
Obviously, this man in the doctor's uniform killed Zundel, then left by the window.
Yeah, with that surgical mask, it could have been anybody.
Apparently, he murdered Zundel trying to get information as to the whereabouts of the papers.
I thought that at first, too, Janakas. Then I remembered that Zundel was unconscious at the time, so it couldn't have very well been that. No. Oh, I think the killer already has the papers and realized that Zundel knew he had them, so he had to shut his mouth for keeps.
But you say when you went to Zundel's apartment a few hours ago, you were knocked unconscious. Whoever did it obviously had been looking for the papers in the apartment. You interrupted his search.
Yeah, that's the point, Janakas. I think we're up against two teams in this ballgame.
Two?
Sure. One outfit already has the plans. The other outfit's trying to find them. And we're right in the middle. Nice thought, isn't it?
If you're right in your assumptions, if the plans are already in possession of hostile interests, then that means...
It means we've got to move fast to prevent those plans from getting out of Athens. Whoever has them undoubtedly knows your men will be covering all exits. So they'll probably try to cook up some cute angle to get the plans out.
This girl, Mitchell, what do you make of her?
Helen Slater? I don't know just where she fits into this deal, but I'm sure she fits in someplace. She lied when she said she didn't know about Zundel's accident. Maybe she lied about a few other things, too.
Well, where does all this leave us, Mitchell?
Well, pretty much in the dark right now. Look, right after I got slugged in Zundel's place, Helen walked in. So I never did get a chance to take a look around.
Oh, you wish to go back there again?
Yeah. Maybe we could find something there that'll give us a line on whom Zundel's been playing ball with. But first, I've got to send a report back to my boss in the United States. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Steve's report's coming in on the teletype, Commissioner.
Good, let's have it.
There you are.
Very dull job you sent me on, Commissioner. It was in Athens 2 whole hours before getting hit on the head.
Well, that's just about par for Steve, I guess.
Yeah. Now in middle of charming game of button, who's got the button? Both sides playing for keeps. Man who used to have button, now slightly dead. What?
Well, he must mean Zondel.
Wait a minute, here's some more. Check on a Jim Thatcher, newspaper correspondent. And on way back to Zundel's house with Janakis.
Here we are, Janakis.
What are you waiting for?
The last time I walked through that door, I got a lump. You remember? I'm not taking any chances this time. Yeah, I guess the joint's empty. Come on. We might as well start here in the living room. There's a chance that the plans are here somewhere, although I doubt it. But anything we can find which would tie Zundel's in with the people he was running with would help us.
All right. I will take this side of the room over here.
Okay, I'll... Hey, that's funny.
What is the matter?
Take a look at this wall over here, Janakis.
This wall? But there's nothing here.
That's right. But there was something here. Look, this area right here is cleaner than the rest of the wall. Let's see. Yep, there's a nail hole here.
Ah, a picture was hung here.
A picture or a painting. Yeah, I remember now. I noticed it when I was here before. Hey. That must have been the painting Helen said she gave Zundel, the one she wanted back.
From the size of the lighter area on the wall, it must have been a rather large painting.
Yeah, large enough to hide those plans in. Have you got Helen's phone number with you?
Yes. Here you are. You said the possessor of those plans would seek a clever scheme to get them out of Athens. It appears you were right.
Yeah, it doesn't do you much good to be right if you're too late. This is Steve Mitchell, Helen.
Well, hello, Steve.
You said this morning that there were several things in Zundel's apartment you'd like, gifts you'd given him.
Did I? Well, to tell the truth, I've sort of lost interest in them, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You've already got the only thing you really wanted, that painting.
Well, I'm afraid I have to be going now, Steve.
It must be quite a painting.
Oh, it is. Very interesting. And very profitable, too.
Wait, look.
And don't try to find me, Steve. You won't be able to.
Now, wait a minute.
So long, darling.
Now, Helen. 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 Come on, Janakis. We've got to get over to her apartment fast.
Gentlemen, this is highly irregular. I cannot let you into Miss Slater's apartment.
Yes, you can. I'm Lieutenant Janakis, police department.
Police? What? Oh, certainly you're right, then. Of course, but Miss Slate is not in. She left a few minutes ago. Here we are.
How long ago?
Oh, just a few minutes ago. Here,
she's gone, all right.
I don't understand, gentlemen. Is something wrong?
Have you any idea where Miss Slater went?
Why, no. She left in quite a hurry. Took a taxi cab.
Did she have any baggage with her?
Yes. 2 suitcases, as I remember.
Anything else?
No, I don't think that... Wait. Yes, she had large flat packets.
Ah, probably the painting.
The what?
We will need you no longer. You may go.
Oh, but I...
We will let you know when we leave. Thank you.
Well, all right.
She took off in a hurry, didn't she? Must have been all packed and warming up her engines.
Yes. We will get a bulletin out on her at once. Dominic, this is Janakis. Trace the cab driver who picked up Helen Slater from her apartment here a few minutes ago. Find out where he took her.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hold on, Dominic. What is it, Mitchell?
I just spotted this piece of paper in the wastebasket here. Hey, take a look.
Libyan Star, 6 p.m.
Yeah, the name of a ship.
6 p.m.? What time is it now?
6:10.
Ah, it has already sailed. Dominic, contact the harbor patrol. Tell them to have a launch waiting for us. Come, Mitchell. We must try to overtake the Libyan Star before it gets outside the 12-mile limit. Too much of a start on us, Mitchell.
Yeah. Hey, you know, there's something sort of slick about this whole deal. A little too slick, maybe.
What do you mean, Mitchell?
I don't know. Something about it doesn't add up. I can't quite put my finger on it, but...
There is the Libyan Star ahead.
Faster!
It will do us no good, Lieutenant Chinarco.
What do you mean?
The 12-mile limit stretches between those two islands on either side of us. The ship is already beyond the limit.
Very well. You may as well head back to port. Sorry, Mitchell, but my authority does not exceed the 12-mile limit.
Yeah, I know.
We can try, of course, to intercept the girl at the ship's destination. But as you know, such things are sometimes difficult to arrange due to international aspects. And, of course, she could leave the ship at any port along the line. Mitchell, I am afraid that as far as those radar plans are concerned, the outlook is not encouraging.
You know, the more I think about this deal, the less it adds up. Helen had a key to Zundel's apartment. Now, if the painting was really what she was after, why didn't she just go and get it right away instead of telling us about it first?
I did not...
Yes? I read your message for you. From police headquarters.
Thank you. Mitchell.
What is it?
My man Dominic traced the cab driver. Helen Slater did not go to the waterfront at all. She went to number 1223 Sophia Boulevard.
Huh? Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the address the newspaper correspondent gave us?
Yes, Jim Thatcher. But why would the girl have gone to his apartment?
Particularly when the two of them were acting like they didn't know each other. You know, this deal is beginning to add up. Get this launch in overdrive, Janakas. We're going back to town and pay a call on Jim Thatcher.
Mitchell, there are many aspects of this affair I do not understand.
Here are the stairs. Thatcher's apartment must be on the second floor.
Hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, there are still a few missing pieces in the deal, Janakas, but it's beginning to shape up.
Mitchell!
Sounds like someone got here first. Come on.
Mitchell, look! Two men coming out of Thatcher's apartment.
They gotta come through us. I'll take the one on the right.
Mikos, quick! Your knife!
Too late, Buster! Janakas, the other one's heading for the stairs.
Stop! Stop or I shoot! Stop!
Well, you sure don't pull any punches, Janakas.
He should have stopped.
He did. Well, papers aren't on this boy. They must be on the guy downstairs.
Papers? What papers?
The radar plans.
What? But I thought...
Hey, take a look, will you? I want to talk to Thatcher if he's still alive.
Very well.
Well, looks like we got here a little late, Thatcher.
Helen, she's dead.
Yeah. So I see.
They killed her. And knifed me.
Probably won't have much time, Thatcher, so you better talk fast. Who were the two guys that jumped you?
Don't know. They were after the papers.
I figured there were two teams. I guess those boys were the have-nots. It was you who killed Zundel in the hospital.
Yeah.
Sure. You put on a white uniform and mask. Killed Zundel, went out the window, and then you threw away the costume and met us in the hall outside the room.
Here are the radar plans, Mitchell. They were on the body of the man I just shot.
Yeah, and he got them from Thatcher here.
From Thatcher? But I do not understand. I thought that...
Thatcher is the man who ran over Zundel and took the plans from him. He's had them all the time. Helen tried to focus our attention on the painting, so that while we were concentrating on her and the ship, Thatcher would have slipped quietly out of town.
Yeah, I...
Well, he's gone, Mitchell.
Yeah. Well, looks like this deal didn't exactly work out for either of them.
The plan, then, was for the girl to lure us away with a fake departure, then double back and pick up the plans from Thatcher, eh?
I guess that's about the size of it. And they almost got away with it, too. Oh, funny.
Hmm?
I was just thinking about football.
Football? What does that have to do with this?
Well, I've played a little in my time, Janakas, and I've seen an awful lot of games. But I had to come all the way over here to Athens to see the slickest hidden ball play of them all.
Morning, Commissioner.
Morning, Steve. How was the flight back from Switzerland?
Smooth as silk. Just got in.
Glad you liked it, because you're taking the next plane for Cairo.
Cairo? You mean today? Look, I don't even have a clean shirt left.
You can dunk it in the Nile when you get there. Oh, Ruth.
Yes, Commissioner.
How are you doing on Steve's plane ticket?
I was able to get him space on the next plane. Takes off in an hour.
Good.
Oh, great. I haven't had a date for a week, and now you want to fix me up with a mummy.
Steve, remember Sheik Haroon?
Sure, he's an old friend of mine. He should be.
What do you mean?
About 5 years ago, I taught him to play poker, and he cleaned me.
Well, as you know, the Sheik controls a territory on the edge of the Sahara. He has a walled city there.
Yeah, I was there once. Quite a joint.
We think there's uranium ore in his territory.
Oh. You don't think the Sheik's making himself an A-bomb, do you?
No, but we do know that 6 months ago, we concluded an agreement permitting representatives of several countries to explore and develop the area. That agreement expires next Wednesday, and the Sheik has suddenly refused to renew it or even see our representatives.
Yeah, sound like someone up the ante, huh?
Yes. Apparently these other interests have the inside track with him right now. We want you to change all that.
Oh, great. Sounds like a cinch. Where is the Sheik now, in his walled city?
No. According to our information, he's staying on his houseboat in the Nile at Cairo right now. Steve, get to the Sheik. What you say to him is up to you, but it's vital that our agreement with him be renewed. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment, Steve.
Yeah, I know. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is proud to present Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Yeah, this assignment's really a cinch. All I have to do is stick my nose into a hornet's nest of more power politics and change the whole course of events just by reminding the leader of 30,000 fanatical tribesmen that he and I used to be pals. So I slip a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People into my suitcase and head for Cairo. It's Friday when I get there. I check in at the Delta Hotel and then I head for the Sheik's houseboat on the Nile.
Stop where you are, Effendi.
Huh?
You cannot come aboard this boat.
Who are you?
One of the Sheik's guards.
Look, tell the Sheik that Steve Mitchell is here.
The Sheik will see no one.
Who's that guy up on the deck?
That is Ahmed, the Sheik's confidential secretary.
Look, Ahmed.
I warn you, do not set foot on this boat, or it will be the air guard's unpleasant duty to shoot you.
Guard!
Oh, good afternoon, Mikan.
Has the Sheik changed his mind about seeing me?
No, I'm afraid not, Mikan.
But surely he will see me.
I am sorry, but I have my orders. The Sheik will see no one. Now, please leave. Both of you, at once.
Very well. Okay, but I'll be back.
I would not advise it, Effendi.
Well, looks like you didn't have any better luck than I did. Say, your face seems familiar.
I am Mikan. I was once the chief's trusted lieutenant.
I thought I recognized you. I'm Steve Mitchell.
Steve Mitchell, of course. It has been a long time.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, anyway?
I wish I knew Mitchell. Up until last week, I enjoyed the Sheik's complete confidence. But suddenly, everything has changed.
Shake up in the tribe, huh?
Now he will not even see me. Something must have turned him against me.
Something or someone. I must have turned him against just about everybody. How about that secretary, Ahmed?
I have been wondering about him. He's been acting strangely the last few days. I've asked him several times to get me an audience with the Sheik, but He seems very evasive.
I wonder if somebody's paying him to be evasive.
I do not know.
Look, you know the lay of the land around here a lot better than I do. Maybe you can help me.
I would be glad to if I thought I could, but it is very discouraging.
Yeah, but somehow I've got to see the Sheik.
Very well, Mitchell. I will try to help you. Meet me at the Sphinx Club at 8 tonight. Perhaps I will have thought of a plan by then.
I get back to my hotel just in time to see a figure that looks like Ahmed scooting through the lobby. In my room, there's a bowl of fruit on the table with a note, compliments of the management. I pick out an apple and start for the window, thinking about the whole deal. Then, suddenly, I quit thinking and start listening. A sound is pecking away at my ears. A faint sound, but it keeps up. Then it registers. I whirl around. It's coming from across the room, the table, the bowl of fruit. I grab the bowl, run to the window, open it, and then I heave it out in the garden below. The concussion knocks me back. I can hear a couple of windows breaking. I run downstairs to the lobby. The clerk was waving his hands in the air.
What happened? That explosion.
That explosion was meant for me. A little thin-faced man scooted out of here a minute ago.
Yes, he took a taxi.
Yeah. Is this hotel the driver's regular stand?
Why, yes, it is.
Look, I've got to meet a guy at the Sphinx Club in a few minutes. When that cab driver returns, send him over there.
Welcome to my humble Sphinx Club, sir. You're just in time for the entertainment.
I am looking for a guy named Mikan.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Mitchell, over here. Hello, Mikan.
Please sit down.
Thanks. I almost didn't make it tonight. Looks like Ahmed planted a bomb in my room.
What? What Mitchell did?
Look, you found out anything yet?
Only that the Sheik is no longer in his houseboat.
That doesn't do us much good. Huh? Hey, who's that guy out there talking about Hollywood?
His name is Eddie Martel, a very clever entertainer. Listen to him. I think you will find him amusing.
I'd like to give you my humble impression of a few American movie stars, so let's see if you can recognize him. Can I have your attention, please, all of you at the back of the room there? All right. Now, how about this impression?
Now, listen, baby. I don't want to have any trouble with you. We do it my way or we don't do it at all.
Oh, hey, he's really not bad.
He seems to be very popular here.
That's right. Let's try this one now. Yeah.
Now, see here. You can't talk like that to a man of the old surgeon. No, I won't stand for it. You hear? I won't stand for it.
Body more since Jenna.
Yeah. Oh, you really box sheesh tonight. All right, here's one more. Right, try to catch this one up.
If I were king, Olive, if I were king, what treasures I would bring.
Van Johnson!
Van Johnson! Oh, who was it? Who was it said Van Johnson? All right, waiter, take that man and his table and put him on the Nile, will you? Well, I think that's about all for now. Thank you very much. I'll be back for the midnight show with more of them, and I'll see you later. Huh?
Well, looks like he's heading for our table.
Hi, chum. You know, I can spot an American a mile away, and I always have to stop and say hello, hello, hello.
Have a seat.
Thanks. Eddie Martel's the name.
Steve Mitchell. This is Mikan.
Hi. Allow me to compliment you on your act, Mr. Martel.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Just a knack. If you got it, you can impersonate almost anybody. Now, take you, for instance, Mr. Mitchell. I haven't heard much of your voice, but...
I think this might sound something like it, huh?
Is that close?
Not bad.
Mitchell, Effendi. Steve Mitchell.
Over here.
There is a telephone call for you.
For me? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. If you will come with me.
Okay. Excuse me, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
Where is the phone?
In the back room. Mitchell Effendi, a cab driver came in here a minute ago. He said you wanted to see him.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Ah, here we are. There is the phone over on the table. I will send the cab driver back when you are through with your call.
Okay, thanks. Hello.
Good evening, Steve Mitchell.
Sheik Haroon. Hey, where are you?
Here in Cairo.
Look, I've been trying to see you.
I know. I have been kept informed as to your movements.
That mining agreement expired.
I am well aware of that, but I have no intention of renewing it. I intend to make other arrangements.
Look, won't you at least let me talk to you about it?
It will do no good, Mr. Mitchell. And let me advise you for the last time to let the matter drop. If you do not, if you persist in interfering, then I cannot be responsible for the consequences.
Look, forget that I once saved your life. Just remember, I taught you to play poker. Now, at least you owe me a chance
to talk. Goodbye, Mitchell. Later tonight, I'm returning to my walled city.
Wait a minute. Oh, great.
Mr. Mitchell, sir?
Huh? Oh, are you the cab driver?
Yes, sir. The hotel clerk said you wished to see me.
Yeah. You picked up a little thin-faced guy named Ahmed in front of the hotel about an hour ago. Where'd you take him?
I have written the address on this piece of paper, sir.
Oh, thanks. Here, this is for your trouble.
Thank you, sir.
After I close here, I'll be heading for the States again, I guess.
I imagine it will seem good to get back home. Oh, Mitchell.
Hey, Martell.
Huh?
How'd you like to make a few extra bucks?
You kidding? Is it honest, and who cares?
I think I might have a little job for you in a few minutes.
Yeah, okay. See you in my dressing room, okay?
That's a deal.
What is this all about, Mitchell?
Look, Mikan, that phone call just now was from the Sheik.
What? Where is he?
Somewhere in Cairo, but he's leaving for his walled city. That means we've got to act tonight.
But I still do not understand what you wish with this Eddie Martell.
Look, he's an impersonator. He could imitate my voice on the phone.
Imitate your voice?
That's right. I want Martell to call Ahmed, make believe he's me, and tell Ahmed I know he planted that bomb and I'm on my way over to settle things with him.
But what will that accomplish?
Well, I'm going to be right across the street from Ahmed's place when he gets that call. If he's working under the Sheik's orders, he'll probably get panicky and run to the Sheik. I'll follow him. If he's working for somebody else, he'll probably run there. I'll still follow him.
I see. Well, I hope it works. In the meantime, Mitchell, I will continue my efforts to see the Sheik.
Okay. If you do locate him, tell him I know I'm trying to fill an inside straight, but I think he owes me at least a chance to draw to it.
I do not think I understand your message, Mitchell.
Maybe not, but I think the Sheik will. Well, I'll see you later, Mikan. So I make the deal with Eddie Martell to call Ahmed at 9. I pay the guy across the street $5 to let me roost on his roof. It's a good spot. I can look right into Ahmed's room. At 8:55, a girl comes in. She's wearing a red dancing skirt. She and Ahmed seem to be talking about something pretty important. 9:00 comes. 9:15. Still no phone call. I wait until 9:30, and by then I'm sure something has gone wrong with my plan. I go back to the Sphinx Club and head for Eddie Martell's dressing room. There's a man standing in front of the door.
What do you want?
I want to see Eddie Martell. Why?
Who are you?
Steve Mitchell. Now, look, if it's okay with you, I want to see Eddie Martell. Is he in the dressing room?
Yes. And it is quite all right with me if you wish to see him, Mr. Mitchell. There he is.
Oh, brother.
Not a very pretty sight, is it?
Well, I guess he won't be impersonating anybody from now on.
Now, please tell me why you wish to see Eddie Martell.
What is it to you?
Oh, allow me. I am Lieutenant Abura of the Cairo Police.
Well, Lieutenant, as long as we're laying credentials on the table, here are mine.
I see. Why are you in Cairo, Mr. Mitchell?
I've been trying to see Sheik Haroun.
You think the Sheik is involved in this killing?
It looks like it. His boy Ahmed planted a bomb in my room.
I see. Mitchell, you are aware of Sheik Haroun's power. Are you prepared to confront him with an accusation?
No. I'm just trying to confront him, period.
Without more evidence, I cannot help you.
All right. I think I know where I can get the evidence. The hard way. The Sheik's secretary, Ahmed.
Come, then. Let us pay him a visit.
Really hot tonight, Lieutenant.
Yes, and the air is quite still. These weather conditions usually signify the start of the Khamsin.
Khamsin? What's that?
A blinding sandstorm from the Sahara.
Oh, fine. That's about all I need right now, a nice sandstorm. Well, here we are. This is Ahmed's rooming house. His room is right here in front.
Mitchell.
Yeah?
We will enter without knocking. I suggest you be prepared for anything.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Look. There on the floor.
Yes. This is Ahmed.
It was Ahmed before he collected that slug. Well, Lieutenant, now do we see the Sheik?
Yes. Where is he?
Somewhere in Cairo. Mikan may be able to help us.
Mikan?
Yeah, he was the Sheik's second in command. He's checking some places the Sheik might be here in town. Hey, wait a minute. There's one other.
Who is that?
The dancing girl in the red skirt who came to see Ahmed while I was watching his room. I've got to find her.
Mitchell, do you realize how many dancing girls there are in Cairo?
Sure. It'd be like trying to find one tree in a forest, I suppose. But it's all I've got to go on right now. Oh, I'll check with you later, Lieutenant. For the next 3 hours, I cover every cafe, bar, and dive I can find. I see a lot of dancing girls, all shapes and sizes. Quite a few are wearing red skirts, but none of them's the one I'm looking for. The sandstorm has started by now, and it's really a beaut. Finally, I give up and head back to my hotel room. I open the door, and there's the person I've just been turning Cairo upside down to find, the girl in the red dancing skirt. The gun looked very businesslike, but she was trembling.
Close the door, Mitchell.
Okay. So, I'm next. First Ahmed, now me.
I was Ahmed's sweetheart.
You took a pretty funny way of showing it.
I did not kill Ahmed. You did.
Hey, look. This is a neat cover-up, if it works. I saw you go to his room a little earlier this evening.
He was alive when I left.
What makes you think I killed him?
I knew he was trying to see you.
I thought he was trying not to see me. That's why he planted that bomb in my room.
Ahmed did not put any bomb in your room. He wanted to tell you that the Sheik was gone.
The Sheik is gone? But what did he... Hold it.
What?
The picture on the wall behind you is moving. Hey, a gun barrel. Get down! The slugs tear into the rug beside us. I dive out into the hall and head for the next room. The door's locked. By the time I batter it down, the room's empty. I hear someone pounding down the fire escape. I stick my head out the window and the wind promptly blows a cupful of sand in each eye. Can't even open them for a minute, let alone see who the sniper is. I go back to my own room. The girl is gone. Oh, now I'm right back where I started from with a handful of nothing. I call Lieutenant Abura. He and his boys give the room next door a thorough going over. I'm waiting for him in his office when he finishes.
Mitchell, I thought you said the Sheik was a friend of yours.
I did. Why?
We went over the hotel room next to yours very thoroughly. The one from which you were shot at.
Mm-hmm.
There were several cigarette butts and a half-empty glass of water.
So the sniper had been waiting there for me. Well, what's that got to do with the Sheik?
The fingerprints on that glass were his.
What? Are you sure?
Of course I am sure. Several years ago, during a political uprising, the Sheik was a guest of ours, temporarily. We got his fingerprints then. They matched the ones on the glass.
Well, after this, I'll pick my friends more carefully.
Mitchell, I will tell you frankly, I do not know quite what to do about this. Even though the Sheik's fingerprints are on that glass, it would be a very delicate and dangerous thing to go out to his walled city and formally accuse him of an attempt on your life. His tribesmen are fanatically loyal to him. Excuse me.
Sure.
Lieutenant Abura speaking. Huh? What? Oh, just a minute. It is for you, Mitchell.
Oh? Hello?
This is Mikan, Mitchell. I have been trying to get in touch with you.
Yeah?
They told me at your hotel that you were at police headquarters.
Anything new?
I covered all the places I thought the Sheik might be. About 2 hours ago, I saw him come out of one of them.
Did you get a chance to talk to him?
Only as he was getting in his car to return to his city. He would not listen to me. He said your mission was hopeless.
Hmm. What did he say when you gave him my message about drawing to an inside straight?
Nothing. I'm afraid he did not understand it.
I see. Well, thanks for the try, Mikan. Lieutenant, I just had a thought.
Hmm?
I know it's a tough proposition to get into that walled city if you're not welcome, but what happens in a sandstorm like this?
Why, during the come scene, everyone remains indoors under cover. Only a fool would venture out into it.
That's what I mean. Let you and me be a couple of fools.
Oh, but Mitchell.
How could we get there?
Why, the jeep, I suppose.
Could you dig up some goggles?
Yes, I suppose, but look.
Look, you know, I think I understand now what Ahmed was talking about. It seems like a wild guess, but it's the only answer that makes sense. But to make sure, we're going to have to pay a visit to the Sheik in his walled city.
Just ahead, Mitchell.
Yeah. Come on.
I hate to think of what this sand would be doing to our eyes if we didn't have these goggles.
So do I. Well, the gate is closed. There's no sentry on duty. Fears you are right about the sandstorm, Mitchell. The city may be unguarded.
Yeah, come on. Let's find a place to climb this wall. It's too high to jump. About 12 feet.
Mitchell, many things about this strike you never understand.
Me too. But I think it's beginning to fall into place. Hey, wait. There are a few missing rocks in the wall here. Maybe I can get enough for a handhold. I'll give it a try.
Mitchell, be careful. If a guard sees you on the wall, he will shoot instantly.
Yeah, I know. Here's another hole.
Can you reach the box in your hand?
Yeah. I got a hold of it now. As soon as I pull myself up, I'll give you a hand.
Yep.
There.
Now you are inside, Mitchell.
No. Come on, Lieutenant. Climb up a little. I'll give you a hand.
All right.
Hey, I got a hold.
Yes.
Can you reach my hand?
Yes.
Here you go. Oh, thank you. Okay. We'll drop down just inside the wall here. I'll go first. Come ahead.
Very well. Yeah, this wall shelters us from the wind a little.
Yeah. Now, look. There's a secret entrance to the Sheik's chambers. He showed it to me when I was here 5 years ago.
Where is it?
Right around the corner of that building over there, I think. Now, we'll be crossing about 20 feet of open space, but we've got to take a chance. You ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
Mitchell, we have been seen.
Yeah. Get behind the corner of the building here. Come on. Here we are. Now, you press one of these rocks, and it's supposed to open the door.
Hurry, Mitchell. Hurry.
I've got it. Quick! Get inside! Okay, pull the door shut behind you.
I cannot see a thing.
Turn on your flashlight. Good. Now, up this flight of stairs.
This leads to the Sheik's chambers?
Yeah.
That guard who saw us, he will...
We're taking a chance that he doesn't know about that secret entrance. Okay. This door takes us right into the Sheik's room. Now, get ready for anything, Lieutenant.
Mitchell, the room is empty.
No, I don't think it is. Mikon should be here.
You are very clever, Mitchell. Stand quite still, both of you.
Hello, Mikon.
You're a very persistent man, Mitchell.
Not quite as persistent as you are, I guess.
How did you know?
If you'd known anything about poker, I might never have caught on. But when you told me the Sheik didn't understand my message about drawing to an inside straight...
That does not matter now, Mitchell.
It all fell into place after that.
But, Mitchell, where is the Sheik?
I think I know that, too.
But he talked to you at the Sphinx Club.
No, that was the impersonator, Eddie Martel. I thought I was going to use him, but Mikon beat me to it.
But the Sheik's fingerprints in the hotel room.
I guess it wasn't too hard to place a glass with those fingerprints there. Huh, Mikon?
We're wasting time. The point is both of you know too much to live. I... The porter, keep your hands inside.
Watch out, Lieutenant.
I warned you!
A Abora crashes into the table and knocks the lamp to the floor. The room is in darkness now.
And now, Mitchell, I have a different fate in store for you.
I guess there's some time. I knew about the trap door and the pit full of lime. The Sheik had shown them to me once.
So, you escaped the pit, but you cannot get out of this room.
Why don't you call for help, Mikon? Or maybe you don't want any of the tribe to know what's in that pit.
You are quite right, Mitchell. This is a matter to be settled between the two of us.
I start circling in the garden. I know Mikon's across the pit, but he doesn't know which side I'm on. Then a finger of light stabs at him from the floor. Abura was still alive. And it turned on his flashlight. Mikon shoots out the light. But in the second it is on, I located him. He is standing on the other side of the pit with his back to it. That's the one direction he isn't expecting me to come from. The pit's about 10 feet across, but I know it's my only chance. I get a running start and dive across the pit at Mikon.
Mitchell!
Lost your gun, huh?
I do not need it. There's enough strength in my arm. What are you doing?
Just a hammerlock, buddy. Now we'll see how you like the pit.
No, Mitchell! The pit! No, no! Please, Mitchell, do not drop me!
Don't worry, Mikon. I've got to hold you by one hand. I want to keep you nice and alive.
Do not let go of me! Do not let go!
Mitchell.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Breaking down the door.
Good.
Joseph, bring in the light, quickly.
It is a guard.
Keep him covered for a minute, Lieutenant.
Yes. Stand back, both of you.
What is the matter? Guard! Guard, get me out of here!
If he takes one step towards me, I'll drop you, Mikhail.
No, guard, stay where you are. Mitchell, I'm slipping.
You'll slip more than that if I let go of your arm.
Hang on to me.
Sure. Just tell these guards what you did with the Sheik.
No, guards, do not listen to him. Pull me out.
Okay, Mikhon. I'll just let go of you and then...
No.
Go on, open up, spill it.
What is this about the Sheik? You told us he was ill, Mikhon.
Stop talking or you'll be right down there with him.
The Sheik is dead.
Dead? Keep talking.
I killed him.
What? Okay, guard, help me pull him out. You got all of them?
Yes.
Here we go.
God, listen to me. It was not the truth. What I just said, I did
He's
not...
It's all yours, guard. And if you'll check the bottom of that pit, I think you'll find what's left of the Sheik.
No.
Come, Mika. Let me go. Yourself, help me with him.
How are you doing, Lieutenant?
Oh, I will be all right. It is a shoulder wound.
Good.
And you?
Oh, I'm okay, except my right arm feels about 3 inches longer than my left.
Mitchell, why did Mikhon kill the Sheik?
He knew the Sheik was going to renew our mining agreement. But Mikhon had sold out to the other interests, so he killed the Sheik.
But this business of making it look like the Sheik was still alive.
Sure, until after the mining agreement had been signed with the boys who were paying Mikhon off. And he could announce that Sheik had met with an accident, and as second in command, Mikhon would take over the tribe.
What will happen now?
Well, when the Sheik's boys find out that Mikhon killed their leader, in order to change that agreement, I think they could be talked into preserving the status quo. That's funny.
What is?
Well, you've heard the old saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Now, how do you mean?
Well, Mikhon knew more about poker than he realized. He knew how to bluff, and that's a large part of the game. But if you're going to play a game, you better know all about it. Mikhon should have known what an inside straight was.
I see. Just what is an inside straight?
Huh? You mean you don't know anything about poker either?
No, not a thing.
Huh. That's very interesting. Come on. You start the school as soon as we get back to Cairo. It may be that I've found me a pigeon.
Pigeon?
That's an American term meaning... Well, I think I'll let you find out what it means soon enough. Come on.
Very well. We will play you a game, but just one favor.
Sure, anything.
Dealer's choice, deuces wild, my deck, and no limit.
Oh, great. My pigeon has turned into a buzzard.